Happy Thursday evening and welcome to another jam-packed edition of Sports Look. Wow, we've got stuff to cover here today. And we first of all want to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank, our outstanding sponsors, for making it all happen. Tom Couts, Gus Couts with you. And wow, Gus, high school football playoffs in full swing. And here on Care Radio, tomorrow night, we're going to have Jefferson County North at Opie. And we're going to be talking about those games here in segment one. Then tonight is college basketball, the Benedictine Men with Avila up at the Nolan. We'll be up there for that one. 7 o'clock ball game. So come up to the Nolan, watch. It's a guys only evening up there. And then Saturday, the Benedictine Football Ravens will wrap up the 2021 campaign, and they'll be at Wilcox Stadium hosting Mid-America, a 1 o'clock game Saturday afternoon, K-Radio pregame at about 12:30. Well, Gus, high school football playoffs, and you look at the brackets, and you said it a minute ago, down to 8. It is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy how time flies, but when you start looking up and down, when you go from 6 down to 1A, there are a lot of familiar names that, you know, are used to being here and we're used to seeing, you know, with guys on Saturdays and things like that. Start big, and, well, that's 6A, and Blue Valley Northwest, who has scored 62 and 68 points respectively, well, they're going to get Olathe North on Friday night. You're going to have Blue Valley West taking on Shawnee Mission Northwest. Derby in Lawrence Free State, Derby and Free State should be a great matchup. And then you've got Manhattan High taking on Lawrence, that ball game being played in Manhattan.
So that all said, you talk about East and West. There's no teams very far west, with the farthest out there is going to be, what, Derby?
I was going to say Derby's, yeah, your furthest west team. And, what, Derby looking to repeat for the third or fourth?
I think
yeah.
It's going to be four consecutive.
You talk about their numbers, 63-9, 63-26. And now they're going to get a Free State team who, you know, can roll themselves. So should be some fun games going on around Class 6A.
Hopping down over to Class 5A, how about this? You got our neighbors down the road at Mill Valley. They're going to be at home with Blue Valley Southwest. You got STA and DeSoto at DeSoto. Going to the west half, you talk about familiar names. How about Capon Mount Carmel at home with Wichita Northwest, and Hayes will travel to Mays. I just couldn't wait to say that. That's good. So anyway, great games going on in 5A also. You look down at Class 4A, teams that we're super familiar with St. James Academy at Piper. Bishop Miege. This is the team we've been laughing about all year. Not that they're not good, but that because of the games that they play, they came into this thing as the number 10 seed, okay? And here they are. They are going to be playing at Eudora, and Bishop Miege is a powerful team as they beat Chanute last week.
If Miege can get to the state title game, they would get back to 500. Right? So, I mean, that just shows you the kind of schedule that Miege has played. We saw Eudora the other night as they knocked off Atchison. Eudora, I mean, they look strong. They're a good downhill running team, and that's hard to beat this time of the year.
Yeah, and you talk about points rolled up in their first game. You know, Eudora was able to roll up, what, 48 over Ottawa and then 50 last week. So it's nothing fancy. It is just plain old hard-nosed old-school football that they play.
Yeah, old-school football, they're going to take a lot of time off the clock.
Bueller is going to be at home with Mulvane, and you'll have the Red Raiders of Wamego hosting Andover Central in the west half of Class 4A.
I think that might be maybe one of the interesting games in Class 4A, right? You've got Wamego, who's playing really good football right now, against Andover Central, who's always difficult. Dropping down to Class 3A, you have Frontenac. On the road, they're going to Rock Creek. Rock Creek was able to edge out Hayden last Friday night, 28-21. You've got Girard on the road as they're headed to Holton. Holton was able to beat Pere LeCompton, 41-0.
Girard and Holton, this is a great game. You've got two undefeated programs getting together. Girard is now 10-0. They won the CNC League, and the Trojans have been spectacular all season long.
Yeah, and they're a team that looks like, you know, looking up and down, they put up a lot of points. The only game they weren't able to put up a lot of points was when they beat Frontenac 13-6, and Well, Frontenac's still going in the playoffs, so yeah, that tells you something. Concordia is going to be at home with Andale, and you've got Southeast of Saline versus Cheney. Southeast of Saline comes into that ballgame at 10-0, and I believe Cheney's 10-0. Yeah, 10-0 as well, so that should be a fun matchup there.
But I'm wondering if any of our listeners know where either Cheney or Southeast of Saline is.
It's kind of like finding most of the teams in the TVL. I've heard of those towns, but I can't tell you how to get there.
Well, here are teams and places we've been to pretty much all of as we go to Class 2A in the 2021 Kansas State playoffs, where it is Riverton at home or at Rossville. Riverton is going to travel to Rossville. Riverton, the number one seed. And
you talk about Riverton. It's survive in advance, not run away from teams. Like they are doing all that matters.
Advance. That's the operative term right here.
You go back to week one, they beat Eureka 14-6. In week two, they went into overtime to beat Osage City 28-22. And so now we'll be on the road at Rossville. Should be fun.
Rossville getting there after bumping off Nemaha Central last week. Wellsville is going to make the trip to Silver Lake. Gus, you see what's coming together here in the semifinal game?
Okay, here we go. Putting you on the record.
Huh?
Are we going to get a rematch of the War on 24?
Yes.
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay. Well, it'll be Wellsville at Silver Lake. Silver Lake scoring, 62 on Atchison County, scoring 51 on St. Mary's, and you've got a Wellsville team that beat Erie 48-6 and Humboldt 49-8. So these two teams, you talk about offense, you know, that's your kind of matchup.
Yeah, Wellsville is pretty good. They're 10-0. They don't give up a whole lot of points. They score a lot of points. That's usually a good combination, right? You score a lot, you don't give up a lot, you're going to win a lot of games. I think that, here's my limb, I'm going to say that Wellsville knocks off Silver Lake.
Well, in the bottom half of the bracket, you've got the 9-1 Hillsboro Trojans. They're going to travel to Beloit, and the very bottom pairing is going to be Kingman, and they have a trip to Fort Hays State University as they are going to be playing TMP Kingman. The Eagles there are 9-1, and they were the champions of the Central Plains League. They lost to Cheney in week one, have not lost since.
Right, and we just talked about Cheney, who's still alive in the 3A playoffs and undefeated, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's one of those that you're not going to be overly upset with at the end of the day. Dropping down to Class 1A.
Here we go.
JCN, who was a 48-8 winner over Troy Friday night, will advance to take on the number one team in the state of Kansas. What, the defending state title? Opie Eagles, and Chris Schmidt has this machine running beautifully.
Yes.
They haven't given up a touchdown since September 17th, and those were the only two scores they gave up all season in a 70-12 win at Linden. But since then, they've rolled off wins of 63-0, 63-0, 35-0, 59-0, 49-0, 35-0. So, yeah, they beat Jackson Heights twice this season, 35-0, 35-0. So this is a team who, again, we talked about it moments ago, score a lot of points, don't give up a lot of points. It's a great, you know, combination. And by not give up a lot of points, they don't give up any points. I mean, can you imagine
not many.
Through nine games to give up 12 points? That's just ridiculous.
And, of course, Jefferson County North, you mentioned, they defeat Troy last week 48-8, got down 8-0 at the start of the ballgame, and then got on a nice roll and were able to move there. That is a game that you're going to be hearing live here on K-Radio. Jefferson County North at Olpie, and that's tomorrow night.
Yeah, you talk about JCN, though. They're a team who, you know, since the calendar flipped to October 2nd, because they lost October 1st to Centralia, but then haven't lost since, right? They were able to beat Wabunsee, Troy, Jackson Heights, Troy. I mean, you go before that, their first loss of the season came in week one. They lost to Pleasant Ridge, 24-22. Riddled off three wins, lost to Centralia, rallied off four more wins. So, I mean, this is a team that Coach Schneider has playing really well right now.
And we're going to talk to Coach Schneider before the ballgame, so we'll have a little pregame interview with him. And, Gus, you mentioned Centralia. Gee, how are they doing?
Are they done?
No, they're still playing.
Oh, yeah, they get Linden.
Yeah, Centralia. They are going to be at home and hosting a team that we see seems like in a postseason often, Linden. So Centralia at home with Linden in the other half of the top bracket of Class 1A. And the bottom, the Western teams, you've got Inman, and they are at home with Conway Springs. And then you'll have Sedgwick traveling to Smith Center.
Yeah, so, okay, let's talk about the bottom half of this bracket. Inman, 9-0. Conway Springs, 8-1. You talk about Sedgwick, 9-0. Smith Center, 9-1. You talk about some really good teams on the bottom half. I think, honestly, 1A might be the most intriguing bracket left.
It's a fun bracket.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely in 100% agreement with that. It'll be interesting to see how that all goes. And again, Friday night, we will have here on Care Radio, Opie, JCN, in the Class 1A 2021 state playoffs. We're going to take a quick break. We're coming back. We got so much to talk about, and Sport Look's going to continue right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. Great to have you along. And Gussie, Benedictine football Ravens traveled to Nixon, Missouri. And we got to see a great stadium. And it was a great win for the BC Ball Club last Saturday afternoon. Beautiful day. And is that the best they played all year? Maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the one game that I kind of keep going back to and scratch my head a little bit because they played so well for so long and then kind of give up some touchdowns late, but that was that maybe that Culver-Stockton game where they just jumped all over Culver-Stockton early in that ball game, and really the Wildcats just were never a part of it the rest of the afternoon. But this was a complete game, right? Like, I mean, you were able to do it on offense, defense, your special teams played pretty well. I mean, anytime you're starting the game out near midfield, every time you touch the ball, there's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I would say as a complete victory, you know, that's a good question for Coach Osborne. But I would say, yeah, this is probably one of their most complete victories because all afternoon, I mean, I get it that Coach Hepola took 3 timeouts, down 35 points at the end of the game, trying to get the ball back and do something with it. And then he does, and then they weren't able to do anything. They took an evangel team that has, I can't understand how, but they beat some teams this year. They made them look like, honestly, they made Evangel look like the worst team we've seen all season. And I mean, and that's saying something because we've seen Graceland.
Yes.
But I mean, they did. Evangel couldn't do anything. They had so many penalties. They were the least penalized team coming into this ballgame. I mean, every box BC checked it. And I think if you're the Evangel coaching staff, you walk away from that game going, man, let's scrap the film and just not look at it because it just was a bad day because BC, I mean, from the start, right? Like, what, play 2, they ran speed sucker score on it, and it was off to the races from there.
Yeah, and again, the defense, a shutout, the special teams, 2 blocked punts, one of them they covered up in the end zone for a touchdown. I mean, yeah, there was nothing the Ravens did not do well Saturday, and they're going to get a chance to finish the season at home and looking to take a win over longtime opponent Mid-America. Ravens would find a win over them very sweet.
Yeah, you know, Mid-America's been a team who's down a little bit, but for the Ravens, this is a big game because now you can finish the season with not exactly the record that, you know, the coaches had anticipated coming into the season, because I don't care if you're Benedictine, Grandview, Evangel, or if you're Clark or Graceland. Every team coming in thinks they're going to win every game, right? And they should. But, you know, I mean, I think a win Saturday will put you in a good spot. Take a look at some of the games that happened last week around the conference. Peru State knocked off Graceland 51-7. You had Mid-America in overtime beating Missouri Valley. And again, Valley just continues to struggle to win games in the division. That was a 42-35 win. Penn over Clark 28-17. Those 2 games I haven't talked about yet, right? How about Grandview beating Culver-Stockton 9-6? That was a game that featured all field goals. And then Central Methodist at home on Senior Day finish out the perfect season at home as they were able to knock off Baker 21-19. So, yeah, hats off to Central Methodist. And
they took a big jump in the poll, and they're going to have to. If a team that has the same record as Baker, who has defeated Baker, is going to make it to the postseason. Baker still, what, top 10? And Central Methodist jumped into 20. And there's a team that, if they don't make it into the postseason, it is an injustice.
Yeah, what are they sitting at? 22 right now, okay? And the problem with 22 is that doesn't put you in. And there are a lot of points behind Arizona Christian and St. Francis, Illinois. Now, the one advantage that they're going to have is that 14 plays 20, and Southwestern will be at Kansas Wesleyan.
So Southwestern loses.
Yeah, so Southwestern loses. They fall out. 14 plays 20. The advantage to that is one of those teams is going to be out. So you're going to have St. Xavier, Illinois playing St. Francis, Illinois. So one of those teams fall out. So two teams fall, you win, you move up to 20, you're in, right? Are you going to Morningside? Probably. But it doesn't matter, you're in, right? Well, I guess at that point you're either going to Morningside or you're going to...
Northwestern, maybe?
No,
Dort? Waldorf?
I'm going to get to it. Lindsey Wilson.
Right?
The Blue Raiders are the number one team in the country. And... So, yeah, Morningside with a big win over Northwestern last week in a game where, what, 110 combined points? I mean, not a whole lot of defense being played.
Talking about the Mid-America team coming into Wilcox Stadium Saturday, they have three wins on the season, Gus, and without even looking, you know who they were against.
Yeah, three wins. You got to beat Clark, Graceland, Valley.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
And Valley, they won last week in OT, so it was a really close ball game for them. Mid-America, 460 yards of offense in that game. There was not a lot of defense played there that day.
If you're the Heart of America Athletic Conference and you're Commissioner Lori Thomas, you probably in the back of your mind are a little thrilled that Central Methodist beat Baker. And the only reason I say that is here is the only chance you were going to have of getting three teams in right now. And it does look like it's probably going to happen. The only way it could have been better is if Culver beat Grandview and you were fighting to get four teams into the playoff picture.
Yep.
But for the Heart, I mean, I think three, had you told me three at the break would make it, I'd say I didn't know about that.
And again, we will have Ravens here on K-Radio Saturday tonight. It's Benedictine men's basketball, and the Ravens are at home. And tell you what, guys, this Heart is struggling in basketball on the men's side, I feel like, right now, because, you've seen Park lose to Bethel. Baker loses to Ottawa.
Yeah, but Park Bethel, right? Bethel, aren't they still like a top 20 type team in the country? They had, remember, a really good year last year until they, for some reason, picked up that late season game and went up to Penn and got blasted. But, I mean,
Only game tonight at the conference, Evangel is going to be in St. Louis to play Harris Stowe.
That should be a good one.
That should be a good game. Culver is going to be on the road with Judson. Anyway, you got some big games, good games going on around the conference, and we're looking forward to seeing the BC guys again. That's going to be a 7 o'clock ball game up at the Nolan. You might hop up there and enjoy that one.
Yeah, the Ravens looking to bounce back from a loss to Concordia in Nebraska last Saturday afternoon. They lost in the Cattle Classic, the second game.
They just got themselves trailing early in the ball game.
They got down 15, I think, to start that game, and just never could really get back into it and end up losing 68-53. So the guys looking to right the ship here tonight at the Nolan. Taking a look over at the Heart of America Athletic Conference on the ladies' side. You talk about the Benedictine Lady Ravens on Tuesday night, or last Tuesday, they were able to beat William Woods pretty handily, 72-41. And right now, Benedictine knocks off, Oklahoma Wesleyan over the weekend. Then they lost to Avila last Saturday afternoon in Baldwin at the Baker Classic. So for Coach Folsom, I think looking for a little bit of a rebound after that loss to Avila.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Benedictine AD Charlie Gartenmeyer. Great interview. Lots of fun stuff. You're going to want to enjoy that. And then Sport Look continues here on Care. We're visiting with Charlie Gartenmeyer. And first of all, I call him Coach Gartenmeyer. Coach, I don't even know what titles to share with you because you've got, you know, the coaching job with football. You are, of course, the athletic director at Benedictine College. And you probably got six or eight other titles that I'm not even aware of up there.
I'm not a title guy, but I enjoy what I'm doing each and every day, working at this great college and working with these outstanding students. My focus is on all the students, but also mainly with our student athletes. So we're having another stellar year. Tomorrow, our cross-country team is heading up to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, for the Hart Cross-Country Championship, and we're extremely excited about the job that Jaquel Smith is doing with the track and cross country. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we start the postseason play for volleyball. Victoria Hurd, our new volleyball coach, is just a tremendous, tremendous asset to our institution. And then tomorrow on campus, now the volleyball team, they'll be playing down at Park, and then our women's soccer team will be hosting the opening round on our campus at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And so we're excited about those events, and football will be playing down at Evander, and our basketball team, and they're up in the classic up in Seward, Nebraska, the men's team. They are in the Cattle Classic, and they'll be playing. In fact, they play this afternoon at 3 o'clock against Hastings, and then tomorrow they'll be playing at 4 o'clock Concordia. And we have our women's team, they're off to a great start, 3-0. And we're 2-0, and then they're going to be playing down in Baldwin City against Oklahoma Wesleyan today, and then tomorrow they'll be back at the Baker Classic at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So, and then on Sunday we have our wrestling team. I just spoke with Coach Marcus Cobbs. He's going to be taking 24 kids down to Baker University, and so that's going to be a great event, and we're excited to see the maturity of that program. So we've got a lot of things going on. We just finishing up fall baseball, fall softball, fall lacrosse, men and women's lacrosse. As our listeners out there are aware of, we're sadly losing a great coach at Amanda McGee. Amanda is going back to her alma mater, Roger Williams, back in Bristol, Rhode Island. That's 30 minutes from where Amanda grew up. But I'm so appreciative of what she's been able to do for our school and for the women's lacrosse. And starting that program is not an easy task, but she's done it with class and success. She had a great deal of success and professionalism. I'm really, really happy for her and as she's moving on. But we're also excited that Claire Hansen is going to be our next head women's lacrosse coach. Claire was part of the initial program at its inception, and an interesting part, and then she moved to be a graduate assistant and a volunteer. So Claire has been part of the program all the way from the beginning, either playing with or coaching all the people. So again, we're excited about Claire and what she's going to bring to the program.
We're visiting with Charlie Gartenmeyer, athletic director at Benedictine College. And Coach, it's also been exciting, you know, during your term there, because the Ravens have been able to expand. You know, you've added sports, and you mentioned a few of them, you know, the new programs like, you know, the cross country and wrestling and lacrosse. It's got to be a daunting thing when somebody comes up and says, let's add a new program. It's not just as easy as saying, okay, we're going to do that. I mean, there's got to be so much involved in putting one together.
For a college the size of Benedictine, we have to continue to take a look at what are those enrollment opportunities so that we can continue to bring a Benedictine education to communities across this country. We're in the process currently, and I'll be making a presentation to our cabinet next Wednesday about the possibility. And, you know, we're looking into, we continue to look into tennis and golf, and we take a look at women's wrestling. We take a look at men's volleyball. We're taking a look at men and women's rugby. You're exactly right. There's a lot of work and research that goes into that. And the question that we ask, is it really a good fit for Benedictine College? So an example, I'll just take one sport. I'll just take rugby. You know, we feel that there's a great connection with a couple of our alums that have been very successful in the rugby world. It's great at a high school, but, you know, here at Benedictine, there's only 26 teams across the nation that it's a sanctioned sport at their institution. So where do we play? Where would we play? How far would we have to travel? How much time would we be missing classes? What are the facilities that we have here? There's an abundance of research that goes into each program. But again, for Benedictine College, it all deals with being an enrollment-driven institution. And we understand how important athletics plays to an institution, and continue to help expand what we're about here at Benedictine College.
Coach, as you talk about the new things that you are considering and that, you know, get floated around and talked about, one of the things that I hear so many schools bringing in, because it seems like there's interest and it's probably not a ton of money involved in beginning a program, because that, of course, is, you know, the simple fact of the matter, if it takes a lot of money, you know, but esports, has there been any talk about them?
Yes, we've had several conversations about e-sport, and President Menace and I visited with a young man works with the NAI, Michael Brooks. That is something that we take a look at, and we'll go back and evaluate that. For us, we're not sure if all of that actually fits into our mission. So with us being community, faith, and scholarship, we have to be cautious about the e-team sports, where it's an individual kind of sport, and it's not fully integrated within a community. But there are some massive costs involved in that, such as most schools are building their own separate centers for those e-sports, and they have to sit in a certain kind of chair, and they have to have certain kind of microphones and different kind of computers. So it is something that we have looked at on two separate occasions, but we've kind of put it on the back burner right now.
Well, Coach, as we talk about things going on around the college, you know, certainly one of the focuses of us here today is Benedictine football, and you've had a long and great career with the Ravens and continue doing that, and it's got to be great when we look back, because this year we celebrated a lot of anniversary teams, you know, from playoff teams, and, you know, you and I have had the chance to see some fantastic playoff teams here for the BC football.
Well, it has been it's a great honor to have been a part of this. The opportunities, I had an opportunity just last evening, and in the last 30 years here, this football program has been 240-97 since 1991. So, and I, as I'm looking down and thinking about some of those people that have been a part of our program, and I'm really proud of the fact that they graduated from here, and they're really making an impact. They're leaders in their family. They're great husbands, they're great dads, they're leaders in their community, in their church, and in their place of business. So it's gratifying for me to know that I've been a little part of their successes. And on a sad note, within the Raven family, one of our players and is Donnie Tabor, the great Tabor family from St. Joe, and he sadly on Wednesday lost his wife to cancer. So we're praying for Donnie, and we hope that the family will be able to handle it as the best they possibly can. But there's a lot of great memories for a lot of kids here. I'm in my 47th year of coaching here at Benedictine, and 51 total as I'm a graduate, a 1975 graduate. So I've had the opportunity to work with some great people, and I continue to be excited each and every day of where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish. And it all starts with a great leader in Steve Venice.
Coach, as you look at and reflect on those many years and many great teams, is there a game, a few games, a season that jumps out at you? And I know it's always difficult. It's like picking, a favorite child. And by the way, congratulations on that grandchild.
Yes, yes, I appreciate that. I've shared this story with several people. Sheila, my wife, of coming up on 40 years, and we just had our first grandbaby, and Charles William Levins, and so I told when my daughter called me and told me that, hey, we're going to have a baby and we're going to name it Charlie, I called my other two daughters and told them that their inheritance was going to be significantly diminished after that announcement. So, but there have been a lot of kids through the years. Yeah, you betcha. There's tons of them, I just think that I hope that in many, many situations, I will tell you this, and this is just not coach talk or media talk. I mean, I have probably learned more from these kids than I have shared with them. I've watched them handle situations differently. I've learned to maybe enjoy life a little bit more. One of the days that I enjoy the most, the 2 days I enjoy the most of the year, is Father's Day and Christmas. And on Father's Day, I bet you I get 200 to 300 texts or messages or phone calls that say, hey, I'm thinking of you today. You made an impact upon my life, and you're acting as if you were my father. So, and then Christmas, I just think that I continue to encourage these kids to love, just like Jesus would love everybody. So it's really, those are two big days, and the kids remember those things. So I'm not good, Tom, at remembering scores, but I do remember the fond memories of watching young men and women grow into successful adults.
Well, Coach, this is all great stuff, and we appreciate your sharing that with us. I'm going to ask you one more thing to share before we wrap this up. But, how does a young guy who's growing up in Philadelphia, I mean, you're a far cry as a youngster from the Midwest and certainly from Atchison, Kansas. So how does a guy make his way from there to here and ultimately settle here and call this home and make such an impact on so many people?
Well, God works in mysterious ways, and I believe God has a plan for each one of us. I really wanted to go to Villanova University in 1971. I went to my dad and said, hey, I think I want to go to Villanova. And he said, are you crazy? That costs $5,000 to go to school there. So I said, okay. All right. Then I really wanted to go to East Stroudsburg State College, and I was accepted there, and that East Stroudsburg was a teaching school, and I kind of thought I was going to want to be a teacher. And Father Joe Schmidt called my mom and said, you know, Charlie's going to go to East Stroudsburg, but when I look in his eye, he just doesn't seem happy. And he said, I want you to come over. I went to Archbishop Wood High School. There was a girls' school and a boys' school. And I went over, and Father Schmidt said, hey, Thursday night we're going to have a college fair. So I went to the college fair, and I was walking down, up and down the aisles with my mom and dad, and I picked up this literature, and it said St. Benedict's College in Atchison, Kansas. And not sure why. I mean, there were other schools there that I had an interest in. They were closer to home. But came sight unseen, and I just fallen in love with it, and I've made the very best friends in the world here, and have had so many positive interactions with the people in Atchison and the community and surrounding area, and with certainly with Benedictine College. So God has a plan for you, so I just followed the plan, I guess, and it's the best thing I ever did in my life.
Coach Gartmeyer, we so much appreciate you taking time out of a hectic schedule. We know you got a lot of things to do. We appreciate getting kind of caught up on all of the fall as they shift into winter. What a busy time for you guys, right? Because the seasons kind of overlap here.
Oh, yeah. And in my compliments, I'll tell you, there's a group of people that are behind the scenes that make this work. I mean, Mike Fawcett, our associate athletic director, and Josh Pound, they're really into the weeds each and every day. And the other group that I want to recognize are our athletic trainers, headed by our director, Patrick Hodapp. He keeps those and his team keep the athletes ready to go for each contest, we've also expanded our weight performance areas, and Ben Arnold, who has been with us now for a year, and his impact and his vision for how athletes train and condition has really been exceptional. And so there's a lot that go into making up. And then you're talking about, on top of that, for our coaches, academics, obviously that's the number one thing. We want to graduate kids from here. But then we are also talking about fundraising and taking care of their personal needs. You're also talking about recruiting and who's going to replace who. So it's a 24-hour, 365-day position that you have to place yourself in if you want to be successful at the small college level.
Coach, I get a feeling, though, you wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely not. In fact, Jamie Mueller, who played for the Bills and a great legend here, and Jamie was on campus just a couple weeks ago, and I'm always reminded of the story. He said, hey, we're so passionate about doing everything with class that our head football coach even did the laundry, and he was talking about Larry Wilcox. So another great story.
Charlie Gartmeyer, we appreciate your time, and best of luck to you, the Benedictine College as a whole, and particularly in the athletic department and the things that you're dealing with. And we'll be talking to you soon and keeping in touch. Go Ravens, man.
Thank you so much. And Tom, you and CARE Radio and the listening audience, thank you for your support of Benedictine College. And come and take a look and see what's happening on our campus and in our playing venues. I'd love to interact with all of you.
Back with you here on Sports Look on KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison. Gus, Kansas City Chiefs beat the Packers last week. It was a 13-7 win, a win that the Chiefs needed, but you know what? I think if the Packers were at full strength, I don't know if the Chiefs would have won that game.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of watched that game thinking, goodness, if Aaron Rodgers was playing, the Chiefs might lose this thing again, and maybe not even close, because, I mean, Kansas City just kind of scrapped the whole game plan on defense and just said, hey, new quarterback, let's blitz him and see if maybe he gets in trouble and throws something. And he did. He got in trouble. He threw some passes that Aaron Rodgers probably wasn't going to. And so for Kansas City, Merry Christmas, right? And they walk away with a win. They feel a little better about themselves and get to turn their attention to a big game on Sunday night.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The AFC West, Kansas City's in last place. They're half a game out of first place. All the teams in the division are, what, five-win teams right now. They're all tied with five wins. The difference is I lost.
Yeah, and isn't that crazy that Kansas City can go from last to first on Sunday?
Yes, the Chiefs at 5-4, Raiders at 5-3. It's going to be the Sunday night game, so there will be a lot of people watching that one.
And the Raiders,
about the Raiders.
Yeah, and the Raiders are trying their best to make this a game, right? They're retiring Charles Woodson's number. They're bringing back, 10 former Hall of Famers. It's supposed to be a big deal going on out at the vacuum in the desert, right? It looks like one of those little robot vacuums, but I think it'll be interesting to see how Kansas City reacts. You've got the Raiders who, again, have gone through so many things this season. You lose your head coach. You have had so many issues, right? You lost a cornerback and a wide receiver within the last 10 days. I don't know. I mean, I think for Kansas City, this is a get-right type game. And for the Raiders, I mean, they've been a kind of a scary team right now. But you look up and down the AFC, how wide open is this thing? Tennessee is the only team with 7 wins. Everybody else has 5. Baltimore's at 6-2, but I'm not so sure I buy into Lamar right now. It's weird seeing the AFC that there's no team that really jumps at you and says, I think that team's going to win it all.
So Chiefs 2.5-point favorite, over under 51.5. So not a huge, huge number. 720.
2.5 points is nothing. So, I mean, if you're in Vegas, think about that one, right?
Ravens at the Dolphins. That's their Thursday night game tonight if you're wanting a little football, and that should be a horrible game.
You must really want football if you're going to tune that thing in.
Sunday at noon, it'll be Saints-Titans. At this point, are you – as a Chiefs fan, are you a fan of anybody playing the Titans?
You're a fan of anybody in the NFC, right? I think that right now, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're just pulling for every NFC team to win.
Like the Vikings or the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean Vikings, Chargers, and that's a game that the Vikings are good enough to win, but I'm not so sure they pull it off. Rams 49ers is the Monday night game. That could be a little fun because the 49ers have struggled, but they always play the Rams really good. That's the Monday night game. The Rams only a 4-point favorite in that thing.
Some handful of NCAA games of interest this weekend. Kansas and Texas. Longhorns under 500. And Gus, I've told you this. You fans on Sportsbook have heard me say a million times. The Big 12 is not a football conference. It is a basketball conference.
Yeah.
And that's, you can see that because there are, what, 3 teams in the top 8 in the nation out of the conference and probably 5 in the top 20.
Yeah. You know, you take a look at that game on Saturday evening. It's a 6:30 game being played in Austin. Texas is a 30.5-point favorite. I'm going to tell you Kansas won't beat Texas, but I think they'll cover that 30-point spread because I don't think Texas is – that great right now.
K-State's going to be at home Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and they're going to be hosting West Virginia. K-State a touchdown favorite in that one.
Yeah, K-State playing pretty good football right now. West Virginia is not. So, again, I think K-State probably runs away with that thing.
Oklahoma is going to be at Baylor and a couple of nationally ranked teams. And Oklahoma, 5.5-point favorite. I don't know, man. I think Oklahoma, they've been just eking out wins, it feels like.
Yeah, I think the college football playoff would prefer that Baylor wins this ball game because
to bump Oklahoma out?
Yeah, they're just not a fan of Oklahoma right now. And I think you heard them the other day say that right now their biggest problem with Oklahoma was that close win at Kansas, right? They felt that if you lose that game, you would have dropped tremendously, and they just aren't buying into Oklahoma right now.
Texas A&M is going to be at Ole Miss Saturday night. A couple of nationally ranked teams.
Nationally ranked teams, but does it do anything for you?
Not much.
Not any. It doesn't move.
Marquee teams.
It just doesn't move the needle for me at all.
However, number 9 Notre Dame at Virginia will have a lot of people watching.
Yeah, I think the Cavaliers come away with a win here.
What?
Being at home, I'm not so sure I buy into Notre Dame being the number 9 team in the country. And I'm going to tell you, the people out in the desert aren't so sold on Notre Dame because this is only a 5.5-point game.
And, of course, the KU Jayhawks, who had a good trip to Madison Square Garden, are going to be back in action tomorrow night. They're going to be, hosting Tarleton.
Kansas brought a lot of new pieces into the fold this year. And I would say by the second half of that thing, they probably turned a lot of heads, right? I mean, because in the first half, Kansas just like kind of fell all over themselves. But by the second half, they were starting to put some pieces together, figure out how guys fit in. And right now, you know how it is in basketball. Every coach this time of the year is playing 11 guys, right? And you're trying to figure out what your rotations are going to be. You're trying to get down to eight, you know, maybe nine players that you get your rotation in. And Kansas, by the end of that thing, looked really, really good.
Yeah. And of course, Raven fans are going to understand Tarleton State is an old Benedictine opponent.
Right.
From the Sunflower Bowl, 1986, Winfield, Kansas.
I'd have been around by then, right?
Yeah.
By that time of the year,
month.
Sure.
Here we go.
So, and on just kind of a little bit of a sad note, Fort Scott drops the football program earlier this week.
A surprise to some, not a surprise to all.
Yeah, so I think that's just one of those kind of interesting things we don't talk much.
Is this the first of a cascade of junior college football programs to go away?
No, but I mean, we are seeing the numbers, and I was reading the story about it the other day, how many schools have already dropped football at the junior college level. I think maybe you see another handful, but very few in the Jayhawk Conference. I would be shocked if another Jayhawk Conference team did.
Upcoming sports schedule on Care Radio is hectic. We've got Benedictine men's basketball coming up here in about an hour. Ravens hosting Abilene in the Nolan. Come on up Friday night. Tomorrow night we'll be with JCN at Opie. Class 1A football playoffs. 7 o'clock ball game, pregame ahead of that, and a visit with Coach Schneider. Then Saturday afternoon from Wilcox Stadium, the Ravens wrap up the football season. Benedictine hosting Mid-America. K-Radio pregame at about 12:30, a 1 o'clock kickoff for that one. Many thanks to Charlie Gartenmeyer, who joined us here in the program today. We appreciate always talking to Coach Gartenmeyer. We appreciate also our Sportlook sponsors, Exchange Bank, Topo John's, Gerber Electric, Hamada Wealth Management, till we greet you from the Nolan in about an hour. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.